Welcome to another Innovation Forum podcast. Joining me in this one is Glenn Horowitz, CEO, founder of Mighty Earth. So welcome, Glenn.
Thanks. Great to be back.
Yes, we've done a few podcasts before, and Mighty Earth has been doing a variety of different campaigns since your inception a few years ago. But what we wanted to talk about on this one is soy specifically, because it seems to us that soy is a commodity in the deforestation debate, which has been slightly under the radar for a few years. Now, I know a lot's been happening in the last couple of years, but it does seem as if the campaigns to get soy sustainable are running up against some pretty large barriers. Tell us what you think those barriers are, Glenn.
Well, those barriers really have names, because it's only two of them. It's really Bunge and Cargill. And I don't say that in the way that we're just singling out companies as markets campaigners do. If you look at the companies that are actually driving deforestation on the ground and sustainability, it's those two companies. The other major players in the soy industry have actually been relatively proactive. So Louis Dreyfus is working on a strict no deforestation policy for soy. They already don't really source from areas that have much deforestation. ADM has done a lot, although it is pulling back, and TFT has recently stopped working with them on soy. So we're a little worried about that. And Wilmar, which is known primarily as a palm oil company, is actually the largest buyer of soy from Latin America. And their strong no deforestation, no exploitation policy applies to soy as well. What we do see is that if you look in the Brazilian Cerrado, for instance, it's not everybody driving deforestation. On the frontier, almost all the deforestation is happening in areas where either Bunge or Cargill has silos. And we just completed a huge investigation that got coverage all over Europe into how European soy end users, the big meat and dairy companies, are getting soy from areas where Cargill and Bunge and a couple others are driving large-scale deforestation. So if we can persuade Cargill and Bunge to stop, we're confident that the rest of the soy industry will come along.
And what are their objections to doing anything? Because these are companies who are no strangers to sustainability. Yep. They've been at the forefront of campaigns and, I would say, also of some proactive activity for 10, 15 years or more. What's the problem on soy from their point of view, well, as far as you understand it?
You put your finger on it, because this is the thing that drives me crazy. Bunge and Cargill themselves created the most successful example of private sector action to protect forests in the world.
The Amazon soy moratorium. The
Brazilian Amazon soy moratorium. Wildly successful. Virtually eliminated deforestation for soy in the Brazilian Amazon. And meanwhile, because there's 1.6 trillion acres of degraded land in the world, they've been able to hugely expand the area planted with soy in the Brazilian Amazon, detoxify the Brazilian Amazon soy industry in global marketplace. So it's been a win-win-win. The only problem with it is that it's confined to the Brazilian Amazon. These same companies, Bunge and Cargill, are driving massive deforestation in the Cerrado. There's massive deforestation going on in Argentina, Paraguay. And the Bolivian Amazon, which is just over the border from Brazil, is the same ecosystem, has sloths and scarlet macaws and all the things that make rainforest great. But because it's in Bolivia, has zero protection from these companies.
If they were here now, what would they be saying, do you think? Let's think about it really from their point of view. What would they be saying? What would they say in response to those accusations?
What they say now is, we recognize that it is possible to expand on degraded lands. I mean, they've done it in the Brazilian Amazon. They're doing it in palm oil as well. And Cargill is participating in the cocoa and forest initiative. So they have a lot of experience with success. The reason why they defend the Brazilian Cerrado in particular as being a special little snowflake is they say that there's opposition from the growers. And these guys, what we found is 50,000 hectare, 100,000 hectare farms being completely cleared of all native vegetation and replaced with soy. These are very well-financed actors. This is not a smallholder sector like cocoa. This is serious commercial commodity.
Companies like Maggi, for example?
Maggi, although even they are soy positively oriented. It's a lot of like companies people haven't heard of, but are large. And in Argentina, when we went out and did our investigation, what we found was that the owners of the land of these farms were not farmers in the traditional sense. They weren't there. They had some workers there. They lived in Buenos Aires. It was supported by international capital.
So these are not the sort of romantic smallholders of palm oil.
Right. It's more like the massive palm oil plantation, Corindo, Pasco, Daewoo, international companies.
So let's say you get what you want.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that's going to solve the soy sustainability problem if Bunge and Cargill say, oh, okay, Glenn, we'll do we'll do what you guys want, and we'll do what we did in the Amazon in a much, much bigger area that's far more prone to leakage, even though it's very difficult. We'll try and do it. So you get what you want in terms of objectives.
Yeah.
That isn't going to solve the soy sustainability problem, is it?
It solves the deforestation problem. And they've shown that they can do it. Within 3 years in the Brazilian Amazon, which is a vast area, they virtually eliminated deforestation. They took it from 25% of Amazon deforestation to 0.25% in 3 years.
So you don't think it's that hard to be done in the Sahara or the...
We don't see any difference. I mean, when we look at it, you've got basically the same dynamics. One of the things the companies will say, I think, frankly, dishonestly, they say, well, there's a lot of players, there's a lot of competition. If a soy grower wants to go around us, they can. They leave out the fact that that's true in the part of the Sahara that's well-established agriculture. But that's not true where the deforestation is happening on the frontier. We and the University of Wisconsin has done great analysis to show that where deforestation is happening, it's almost all Bunge silos and Cargill silos. I think one of the things for your listeners to understand, in palm oil, the main relationship that the traders have with their suppliers is they purchase it. And that gives them responsibility, and they've now taken a degree of responsibility for that. In soy, Cargill and Bunge are buying, yes, but they're providing financing, they're providing fertilizer, they're providing infrastructure. They are the ones determining where deforestation happens. What we're asking them is to stop doing that and also just monitor where deforestation occurs and do exactly what they're doing in Brazilian soy. Just say, we're not going to buy your deforestation. You know, the great thing is I met with CEOs of large Chinese companies that are buying soy, and they're committed to stepping in and doing their part. So we've got these two American companies.
We had a conversation this morning about Kofco, I mentioned.
Yeah.
I've been in touch with someone recently who said, you know, there were sort of two people at Kofco who were both about 12 doing sustainability. I mean, these other companies don't necessarily cover themselves in glory historically, do they? I mean,
so Wilmar, which remains, despite some challenges, the leader on driving conservation on palm oil, is also the largest buyer of soy from Latin America.
I just got back
from Singapore, yeah. And I'll say they are fully committed. They've been participating in all these
initiatives. Wilmar we know about. I was thinking more about the Chinese.
But Kofco, Kofco is the other. So yeah. Wilmar's, you know, is the main company that sells to China. They're the leader.
Okay.
And then on soy, too. And Kofco, the Chinese state-owned company. So their CEO came to Davos and said, we're going to protect high conservation value and high carbon stock forests. We support that. They've done very little to nothing to implement it as far as we know. However, from what we understand, the Chinese government does not want to be embarrassed by things like deforestation or abuse of human rights, especially in land deals. And Kofco is right on the firing line. And their CEO is basically a civil servant. And he's held to account when they show up in newspapers and are embarrassed. The other interesting thing about Kofco, and I think consumer companies should be aware of this, is we approached them a few years ago about palm oil and got nowhere. Since then, they've acquired two major international soy traders, Nidera and Noble, which also do palm oil. And so suddenly, we now find in our analysis that Kofco is selling to international brands like Burger King and Nestle, etc. And that means that if they want to keep expanding internationally, they're going to have to be responsive to sustainability concerns. So I'm decently optimistic that if the American companies take responsibility, the Chinese ones will do so too.
So let's talk about the politics and the consumer sentiment around this. We've seen an awful lot of noise in the last 6 months, going back years, but particularly in the last 6 months, around palm oil in Europe.
Yeah.
We saw campaigns, European members of parliament, saying ban palm oil, get rid of palm oil. Then we saw big pushback in the Malaysian, Indonesian press talking about colonialism and impoverishing smallholders and, you know, the usual arguments. And then we saw a big UK retailer, if not international, Iceland, not the country listeners, the retailer, saying that they were going to dump palm oil from their own brand products. And we'd been expecting this kind of announcement from somebody for ages. And lots of people are quite skeptical and critical about it. Nevertheless, it seems palm oil is getting a pretty bad name. Do you think soy has the same potential? I mean, they're both ubiquitous in things we eat in particular, but in palm oil's case also in cosmetics. Do you see soy going down the same road as palm oil in terms of being...
Absolutely, and I think it's great that companies like Iceland are sending a signal they don't want to buy palm oil anymore. It sends a really powerful signal to the palm oil industry that they need to clean up their act. The same thing is already happening in soy. McDonald's is exploring soy alternatives, like even, you know, protein sources for livestock like insects, which is actually what chickens normally eat are insects, so it's more natural. In addition, we are seeing, I think, partly as a result of the environmental problems with meat, and chief among them deforestation, that there is a lot of investment in vegan alternatives. The Impossible Burger, which is massive venture capital investment and is being eaten enthusiastically wherever you can get it. There's not enough supply to meet the demand. Yeah. As well as investment in cellular agriculture. And these are existential threats to at least part of the meat industry. And it's definitely an existential threat to the soy industry because these things do not need soy to grow. What I can't comprehend is why Cargill and Bunge went through the experience of having their product be so toxic when campaigns more than 10 years ago were launched about what they were doing in the Brazilian Amazon. That is happening now in Europe in particular. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you about that 12 years ago. I remember it very well.
Yeah.
I was running a magazine on corporate responsibility. I knew Greenpeace pretty well. I got slightly tipped off something was happening. 2006, I go in the office and I get a press release from Greenpeace showing their activists dressed as chickens, handcuffing themselves inside McDonald's outlets. And McDonald's really moved the needle very quickly. Why isn't there a big brand doing that now on soy?
So 61 of the world's leading soy end users have called for an end to deforestation in the Brazilian Cerrado. That's McDonald's, Walmart, Unilever, Nestle.
But are they holding the stick over these companies?
Well, that's a great question.
Then, so, because that seemed to be what happened back then. There was a big stick held up and then things happened. Now they're signing pledges, but they're still buying.
That is exactly right. So if you're the CEO of McDonald's, I think my question to you is, are you serious? Because it's one thing to put your name on a piece of paper and say you're exploring alternatives to soy and perhaps using some of them.
Yeah, those aren't coming scared anytime soon, are they?
We're not going to buy as much from Bunge and Cargill. And in palm oil, the thing that moved the palm oil companies to do everything that they have done was the fact that these companies threatened, and in some cases did actually move their volumes from a responsible producer, or from an irresponsible producer to a responsible producer. Mm-hmm. We have not seen much evidence of that happening in soy. I think if you saw McDonald's and Tesco and others actually saying, we're going to stop either ourselves or our meat suppliers are going to shift away from Cargill and Bunge because of the egregious, massive deforestation they're doing in South America, those companies would adopt very quickly. And you asked earlier, what would Cargill and Bunge say? One of the things they say is that in Brazil in particular, there's this kind of right-wing political resistance. And that's true to an extent. But let's not forget, the reason why we're focusing on the private sector is because governments have failed to act so much. And because of political dynamics that we have right here in the United States as well. Mm. But they still have a responsibility to provide their customers, including the companies and the individuals, with the sustainable products that they increasingly want. Mm-hmm. And I think we should not forget that Cargill and Bunge are financing the trade associations that are creating this political polarization, that are the ones objecting to very basic, easy conservation. We put together a proposal with all the other NGOs and experts saying you can replicate the success of the Brazilian soy moratorium across soy growing areas in Latin America for less than $1 million a year.
Well, I hope that's true and I hope they come to the table. A final question. If you get what you want and they agree with those numbers and it happens, does that end soy's threat to be a deforesting commodity?
I think the crazy thing is yes. Because we've seen it work already in the Brazilian Amazon.
There's nowhere else in the world.
There's very limited quantities of soy grown in other... I mean, so there. I should say, and we are working a lot on this too, as you may know, in the United States...
There are different sustainability problems.
Clearing the native prairie, they're polluting with fertilizer, and those remain issues in South America. So I don't mean to diminish...
But they're not deforestation.
But it's not... Yeah, I mean, it's clearance of native prairie, which is similar. And we're making some progress here on that, but a lot more to do. So rightly, North America has a lot to do as well. And, you know, we're seeing some of the big meat companies like Tyson start to take action in North America. But in terms of deforestation, with 1.6 trillion acres of degraded land across Latin America, you don't need to deforest. And there's the studies have shown that indeed there's usually a financial advantage to planting on degraded land. You know, there's inertia. These companies have existing relationships or they aspire to relationships with certain people who are politically connected and own big properties. And, you know, it's a very narrow financial motivation that drives that. But there's a war going on within Cargill and Bunge right now. The people who try to sell soy to the global market are pissed off that they're being embarrassed and they're being yelled at by their customers. The people who buy soy from the growers in South America are much more accommodationist. And ultimately, this is the type of situation where a CEO has to decide. Are we a political entity that exists to kiss up to people who are doing terrible things? Do we want to give veto authority to those who are committing environmental and human rights crimes? Or do we want to be a successful business that expands our market share and understands the sustainability revolution that's happening. That's a bottom line business calculation for two companies that are under threat for being less and less relevant in an era when people want to know where their food comes from and that it's produced in a manner consistent with their values.
Okay, well, let's see how this plays out.
Yeah.
Glenn, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.